This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma zidna ilma wa la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka antal wahhab. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك اللهم عيني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he deserves, befitting his divine glory and majesty. We thank him for this opportunity to gather for his remembrance, to learn together his words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a special gift for this ummah through Jibreel alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which has been preserved for us through every generation by our righteous scholars, the Huffaz. And we are fortunate that after 1440 years, we have the exact words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by which to seek help, by which to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by which to seek guidance, by which to see our path and be guided on our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send peace and blessings, the best of them, to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his Ahlul Bayt, his wives and his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with them on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the hearing channels of our heart to receive his words and to act upon his words, to internalize them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. Ameen. So continuing with our program of covering the Meccan surahs, which, as we have said before, deal with Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Akhirah, with the Day of Judgment, Jannah, Nar, and some stories of previous umam that have passed before us. Continuing with that, we are going to be studying together surah number 32, which is called As-Sajda. It's also known as Surah Al-Madaji', which means the Surah of the Beds, because it takes its that name from the mention of the beds in verse number 16, and you will see that. And some people also call it Alif Lam Mim Tanzil. That's how the Surah starts. So this is another one of the brief surahs with only 30 ayat, and a very beautiful surah, like the rest of the beautiful Quran. There are a couple of ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated this surah as very special. It was, again, a favorite one of his. And the evidence of that is that almost every Jummah, in the Salatul Fajr of Jummah, in the first rak'ah, he would recite the surah, Surah Sajda. And in the second rak'ah, he would recite Surah Dahr al-Insan. So, just imagine every week in congregation, on the special day of Jummah, he used to recite this in the first rak'ah. So obviously, there is some sirr, something hidden, some secrets about this, that he chose this. And that is something for us to reflect on, and you should reflect on that perhaps why perhaps did he choose this to recite every Jummah. And if there's time in the end, we can share some reflections on that. Remind me. The second hadith about the fadail, the specialness of this surah, is that there is a narration that the Prophet ﷺ did not go to sleep till he had recited Surah Sajda and Surah Al-Mulk. Interestingly, both of them have how many ayats? 30 ayats. So we can also make this a part of our normal adhkar, of our repertoire of recitation at night, either by themselves or in extra salah or in our nawafil and sunnah, that we recite Surah Mulk and Surah As-Sajda. The themes of the surah, initial couple of ayats have to do with revelation of the Quran. And then the next few ayats deal with the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about his lordship, about who he is. And then the following ayats are about creation, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started creation. Again, that's part of his rububiyah or his rabb, and his manifestation of his name Al-Khaliq, Al-Badi', the originator. And then we have a few ayats that talk about the resurrection, the day of judgment, and the end of the human beings. And then comes, starting with the ayah of Sajda. This is called Surah Sajda because in this there is an ayah, a verse, in which there is a Sajda Tilawa. In other words, when we read this ayah, it is a sunnah to perform a Sajda. And there are 15 places, or 15 ayats in the Quran, where there is this Sajda of Tilawa when we recite the Quran. Then the next six or seven ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasts the people who are the people of sajda, in other words, who prostrate, who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, versus those who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the traits of each one of those and the end of each one of those. What the end of the believers and the people of sajda will be, and what is the attitude and the end of the wicked, the fasiq, the rebellious, and the zalim, the unjust. And then the last portion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a frame of reference by talking about Musa alayhi salam and revelation that came to him and his people, to tell us that we should reflect on that, that this is the end of the good, this is the end of the bad, and that people should reflect on it, including the Quraysh, for whom, especially to whom this was being revealed at the time of in the Makkan period, and to take, to know what the outcomes are going to be, so that they may take warning. And in the end, the last ayah challenges, leaves them with a challenge of wait and see. So let's start with that, with the beginning of this surah. And this is one of those surahs that starts with the disconnected letters, the huruful muqatta'at. So it starts with alif lam mim. So we'll talk about the first few ayats. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam mim. Tanzilul kitabi la rayba fihi min rabbil alamin. Am yaquluna iftarah, bal huwa al-haqqu min rabbika litunzira qauman ma atahum min nadhir. من نذير من قبلك لعلهم يهتدون. This much to start with, the first three ayahs, as we said. This is one of the surahs of Alif Lam Mim. And these are alphabets that precede six surahs, Alif Lam Mim. The meaning of which, since they are disconnected letters, is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people have given different understandings, including that these may allude to different names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's interesting that there are four Makkan surahs which have that start with Alif Lam Mim, and they're clustered together as 29, 30, 31, and 32. In other words, Surah Ankabut, that's 29, starts with Alif Lam Mim. Next surah, number 30, Ar-Rum, starts with Alif Lam Mim. Next surah, Luqman, starts with Alif Lam Mim. Next surah, Sajda, starts with Alif Lam Mim. So four Makkan surahs all are clustered together. And there are two Madani surahs that start with Alif Lam Mim. And I hope all of you know that. What are those? Surah Baqarah, the second, and Surah Ali Imran. So second and third. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them together. So there must be some sir, something special about it that he gathers these together. Similarly, the other huruful muqatta'at which are gathered together, which happened multiple times, is Alif Lam Ra. So there are four consecutive surahs with Alif Lam Ra. It's interesting. 10, 11, 12, 13 all start with Alif Lam Ra. So, Surah Yunus starts with Alif Lam Ra. Surah Hud, next surah, starts with Alif Lam Ra. Surah Yusuf starts with Alif Lam Ra. And Surah Ar-Ra'd starts with Alif Lam Ra. So these are huruf al-muqatta'at that are repeated and they've been gathered together. So there has got to be some special sir, something secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put these here, but we don't know that because it's only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put anything in the Quran that is without purpose. So even though we don't understand these, there has got to be a purpose behind it. Right? So perhaps one purpose could be that we read them as a test for us. They don't understand what it means. Do they accept it? Do they believe in it? This is part of the Quran. It has a special meaning. We don't know. So in other words, even though we don't understand, this is one part of the Quran that we don't understand at all, we still submit that this is from my Rabb, Alif Lam Mim. Alhamdulillah, for every alphabet I read, I get a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every harf, every alphabet, 10 rewards just for reading it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something greater. And it could also be a challenge that what are these alphabets? That the entire Quran, which is the kalam of Allah, is made up of what? Alphabets. The 29 alphabets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts these out there and says, here is the building material. As he challenges in the Quran, produce one surah. Produce 10 ayats. Here's the alphabets. Use them all. And nobody's ever been able to do that. So that's just some reflections of some of our ulama on this. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So if you read it, تَنْزِيل means something, the revelation, something that comes from above. تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ. Al-Kitab is another name for the Quran. The revelation from above, from high, of the Quran, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So if you read the لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, is Al-Kitab La Rayba Fi? La Rayba Fi means in which there is no doubt. So you could read it as the revelation of the book in which there is no doubt is from Rabbul Alameen. Or you could read it as the revelation of the Kitab is without doubt from Rabbul Alameen. Both ways, same meaning, but with subtle differences of how you read it. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by saying, and as we have said before, most times when you have huruful muqatta'at, it's followed by something to do with the Qur'an in most of the surahs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a declaration that this is a divine word that has come from above. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى. But what do they say? They say means the Quraysh. They say, Iftarahu, he has invented it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forged it or fabricated it. This is, he's made it up. Am yaquluna iftara? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is what they say. Bal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denies it. He says, nay, huwa al-haq, this is the truth. Min rabbika, from your Lord, ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the purpose, لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِن نَذِيرٍ, so that you may warn a people for whom no warner has come, مِن نَذِيرٍ, before you, no warner has come, مِن قَبْلِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ, so that they may be guided, they may get hidayah. As we know, for the Quraysh, after Ibrahim alayhi salam, where it all started, and Ismail alayhi salam, after that there were no prophets, no messengers, till Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that no messenger has come for all these centuries. Now we do know there were messengers who came to the Arabian Peninsula, but not to this area, not to the Quraysh, such as who? Not Musa alayhi salam, not Isa, to the Arabian Peninsula. On the way to Tabuk, the ruins are there. Thamud, southern Arabia near Yemen, Ad. So Hud alayhi salam, Saleh alayhi salam, they were messengers who came to the Arabian Peninsula, but not to the Meccan area, that area. The area of the Najd. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that no warner has come here. Allah has sent this book. So now this is actually making these people feel guilty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all this time, has sent a messenger to you to guide you, and you reject the message. No one has come to you for 4,000 years. Now I have sent you as a special favor. And you say, oh, we don't believe in it. He has fabricated it. So this is to do with the revelation. The next section, the ayahs 4 to 6, Allah, this is to do with the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ma baynahuma fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh ma lakum min dunihi min waliyyin wa la shafi' afala tatadhakkarun. يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تعدون ذلك عالم الغيب والشهادة العزيز الرحيم. This much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah is the one who created the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and everything in between. So what is Allah's creation? What is Allah's creation? Everything other than Allah is His creation. Which includes the arsh and the farsh and the lawh and the qalam and the seven heavens, the angels, the jinns, everything that you know, the universe is Allah. He said He created all of this. At the earth and the heavens and everything in between, fi sittati ayyam, in 6 days. Thumma istawa, then he ascended, he established himself, alal arsh, on the arsh, which is his throne. And we have no idea of what his throne is. We know he has an arsh, we know the extent of it, that it is so huge that everything that we can see in the universe is less than a ring thrown in an open desert. That's just the kursi. And the kursi in front of the arsh is like that. So his arsh is something beyond our understanding. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us through this that Allah alal arsh. Now this is a relative space, but space and time are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Now he says to us 6 days. Now most of us and our kids understand our days are determined by the rising and setting of the sun. Now before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's days are not determined by sunrise and sunset, because his days, even before all this started, before he created this. So we must understand that it's not like our type of days. It's a frame of time that Allah has used. So for us, he says he created it in 6 days. He created it in 6 days. And then he said he ascended his, or he established himself, ala al-arsh, above the throne. Here we have a slight difference with the people of the book, because the Bible says on this he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then he
rested.
And Allah says in surah, in ayatul kursi, that no fatigue, no slumber, nothing overtakes him. He doesn't need to rest. Okay, so on the seventh day he ascended, if you will, his arsh. مَالَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ وَلِيٌّ وَلَا شَفِيعٌ أَفَلَا تَتَذَكَّرُونَ. In other words, he is the Rabb, he is in charge of everything. Other than him, you have no guardian, you have no protector, you have no intercessor. Anyone who protects you, anyone who acts as a guardian, whether it's a parent for a child, anyone who intercedes for you, either in the dunya or in the akhirah, is only by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does not give that permission, nobody can. Even the intercession of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment for this Ummah is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now we'll use the word above, conducts all the affairs. He governs everything that's going on in creation. يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ, by his command. His commands come down. Dubur means one behind the other. They come down in succession, so all, everything is governed from the heaven. مِنَ السَّمَاءِ الْأَرْضِ. So it, the orders of Allah, the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down, in under which everything that you can think of is conducted. The rain that you are feeling today is by his amr that came from there. When the sun, when it shines, is by his amr. The cloud as it moves is by his amr. The bird that's chirping outside is by his amr. Your coming to this meeting is by his amr. Your blinking is by his amr. Your hearing is by his amr. My speaking is by his amr. My heart beating is by his amr. My being alive is by his amr. My ruh is his amr. As he says, they ask you about what is the ruh, the soul. Say, it's an amr from your Rabb. Okay. So Allah's, the creation, there is the khalq, which is the creation that is visible, that you can see. Whether they are heavens, whether the skies, the stars, the moon, human beings, animal kind, water, fish, all of that is the khalq, which you can see. And the amr is the commands that are behind it. They are in the unseen, of which the ruh, the soul, is one. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's amr runs the show, including that which is created. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's amr overrides the khalq, because it was by Allah's amr that the khalq, the creation, has a law which says that a man and woman will come together to produce a child. That's Allah's amr. But another amr of Allah can override that and produce a man from only a woman, like Isa alayhi salam. Okay. Allah's amr is that there is surface tension on the water. Wherever you put it, it will flatten out. That's the normal amr. But Allah's amr can come and supersede that and make the water stand up in walls. No support, no glass, it's not an aquarium, so that the people of Musa alayhi salam can pass. So this is the amr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his amr comes from above. ثُمَّ يَعْرُجُ إِلَيْهِ. And then all of the information from whatever is happening in creation goes up. يَعْرُجُ, goes up to him. فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَسَنَ. In a time which Allah says is 1,000 years, مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ, by your reckoning. The way you calculate all of this that's happening, for you it would be like 1,000 years. But for Allah it happens instantly. the angels move from the Arsh down here instantly. Now imagine the fastest rockets to travel here to the Mars, how many months it takes. Forget about beyond that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us of how the show is running. Then he said, Dhalika, that is he, Alimul Ghaib. He is the one with complete knowledge of the unseen, Ghaib, Wash-Shahada, and that which is seen and witnessed, Al-Aziz, the mighty, the powerful, Ar-Rahim, the merciful, the mercy-giving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces himself by putting these to the kuffar. It's very relevant that, look, this is the power of Allah. He is powerful and yet he is merciful. If you want to challenge him, you will face his power. But take advantage of his mercy and turn back to him. The next section, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ نَسْلَهُ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. So these three ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talks about his creation. He said, it is he, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything in perfection, in excellence. You look at everything, look at the details of everything, from the littlest petal to the human beings, to the creation. وَبَدَأَ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ طِينٍ, and he originated, he started the creation of insan. Who is that? Who is that? Adam alayhi salam, min teen, from clay, from potter's clay. Okay. So insan, our origin is from clay. Thumma ja'ala naslahu min sulalatin min ma'in mahin. And then subsequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then he made his nasl, his offsprings, from a base, weak, ma'in mahin, liquid water, which is a disdained fluid that comes forth, which is the man and the woman's discharge. Okay. From that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and again, this is his amr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about our humble origins. Either you take mud or you take semen. Both are considered dirty and lowly. This is who you are. Then why are you so arrogant? What gives you so much arrogance to stand up against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَقَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brings these together, and we've talked previously about the embryology, from two cells, from a zygote, then it divides, and then it divides further, and then it goes from a drop, then it becomes a little clot, then it becomes a little mudgha, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it grows in stages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَوَّاهُ, then ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ, he fashioned it in stages, first 40 days in this, then 40 days in this, then 40 days in this. So after three periods of 40 days, he says, وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the angel to blow the soul from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ. And then to that, so the soul comes into the body after 120 days. Okay. Before that, it's just a biological material. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُسْ, and he has made for you, what? السَّمْعَ, by which we are hearing, الْبَصَرَ, by which we are seeing, وَالْعَفِدَ, by which we think. And here it is meant the heart, because the thinking and the attraction, the love of the heart is considered greater than the aql. The qalb is dominant, is the king, and the brain is like the CEO. This is the owner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he reminds human beings, reminds the Quraysh, and reminds us of his favors, of being able to see and hear and think and reason and believe and love and all of those emotions. Then he says, فَقَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُ. How little thanks it is that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all this. He just labeled three favors and he says, how little thanks do you give? And then the next section, the fourth section, Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks again about the people who rejected this. He says, وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَارْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَآتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ فَذُوقُوا بِمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا إِنَّا نَسِيْنَاكُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْخُلْدِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ Again, going back to the argument that the Quraysh and the difficulty they were having was they could not comprehend that once we are dead and gone, how can we be brought back? How can there be resurrection? How is there going to be a new creation? How can there be judgment? This is it. So they say, وَقَالُوا, and they say, أَإِذَا ضَلَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, when we have become disintegrated, we are just gone into dust. Nothing is left. Atoms are gone. In the earth, no sign left. Even the bones are disintegrated. أَإِنَّا لَفِي خَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, then will we be brought as a new creation again? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ كَافِرُونَ. No, they are denying that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they, the way they are living their lives, they don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, they deny that there will be a resurrection. So, because they say this, قَالُوا, they say this, then Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, tell them, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. That Malakul Maut, the angel of death that has been appointed over you, that has been given charge over you, will completely extract your soul. And we talked about how the souls are going to be extracted in previous things. And then to your Lord you will be brought back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just say, this is it, whether you believe it or not. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to a scene on the Day of Judgment. Right now they are denying this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ, if you, whoever is listening to this, if you could see the scene of the Day of Judgment, what is the scene? إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ, that the mujrims, the criminals who denied, the disbelievers, نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ, in other words, they'll be hanging their heads down in shame in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, in front of the Lord, because, you know, when you do something wrong and you get caught, you know, what is your position? You just stand like this. Now, this is the ultimate. You're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've denied all of this, and now you are there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this, again, a verbal picture in words of what's going to happen. Here's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His arsh, and all of the Day of Judgment, and there are people standing in front of Him like this. Those heads that used to be up in arrogance will be bowed in front of Him. And what will they say? Rabbana, our Lord. Now they will call Him Rabbana. Absarna, we have now seen. We have seen the Day of Judgment, we can see the hellfire. Wasama'na, and we hear. What now? We hear what the prophets used to warn us. Farja'na, therefore, send us back. Na'mal salihan, we will do great, beautiful actions. Inna muqinoon, and we will indeed have yaqeen, we will have certainty in this day. Now you have seen it. Now everywhere when it talks about yaqeen in this dunya, it comes with first hearing and then seeing. Samana. Because our belief, our yaqeen is on the, we haven't seen any of these. It's unseen. It's on the word, hearing. But now they will say, Now we have seen it. And when you see something, it becomes certain. So now they're saying, now we have yaqeen, send us back. Will they be sent back? What do you think, girls?
Do the same thing.
So that yaqeen, now they have what is called aynul yaqeen. Now I see it, yes, it is here. This is Jahannam, this is real. This is the bridge, this is real. This is the scales, this is real. Yeah. The sun is here, this is real. We heard all of this, now we have seen it, now we believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, after that, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَآتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا. If, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if we wanted, we could have guided كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا. Every soul Allah could have given, just forced, made obligatory that everyone would have hidayah, everyone would believe, like all the rest of creation. But we chose that it's optional. I will choose to believe or not. This is the choice we were given, which has become the source of all of the problems that are going to come in the akhirah, plus all the rewards that will come. وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي. But Allah's word had gone forward when He created this, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ, that I will fill Jahannam with what? Jinnati وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Jinn kind and mankind, the two creations that were given choice. This choice of believing or not believing, worshipping Allah, was offered as an amana to all the creations. The heavens, they said, no. Angels said no. Mountains said no. Every creation said no. This is too much of a, this is a very high risk reward. But insan was jahul. He is ignorant. And the jinn, they said, no, ya Allah, we'll give us that as an option. And this is the result of that. So He is going to fill Jahannam with jinn kind and mankind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the fuel of Jahannam is jinn, men, and stones. Okay. And therefore, when Jahannam is going to be filled, the hadith tells us that 999 out of 1,000. What percentage is that? 0.01. Right? One out of 1,000 will go into Jannah.
One tenth,
yeah. So the rest are in Jahannam, so there is plenty of room in Jahannam. In fact, the hadith that Jahannam will receive so much, it will say, Halim Talati. Halim Mazid, when it's asked, it'll say, can there be more? Because it will be filled and filled. And nothing will, ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it said, will close Jahannam by putting His foot on it. This is it. So, this is a warning to those people who rejected. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the other side, opposite. Innama yu'minu bi ayatina alladhina idha dhukkiru biha kharnu sujjadan wa sabbahu bihamdi rabbihim wa hum la yastakbirun. This is the ayah of sajda. So inshallah, I don't know how practical it is, but let us do a brief sajda here. At least let me do it, and then we can do it after. Innama yu'minu bi ayatina. Only those who believe in our ayat, in our signs, which are the ayats of the Quran, and the ayats when we recognize Allah by looking around in the heavens and the earth, are those alladhina idha dhukkiru biha, when they are reminded by these ayats about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the day of judgment, about the might and power and creative ability and the rewards and punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do? Kharru, they fall down, sujjada, in sajda. What does sajda represent?
Submission.
Complete submission. That we take our most prized possession, that we spend most time beautifying our face, by which we identify, and we put it on the ground, the lowest thing, that, Ya Allah, I submit this in front of you. Complete submission, unconditional submission, loving submission. That is what sajda means. Every order of yours is on my head. I submit. Kharru sujjadan, and in the sajda, they wasabbahu, they extol, they glorify the praises, hamd of their Lord. That's why we say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. We praise Allah subhanahu wa hum la yastakbirun. And these are people who do not show arrogance. They are not too proud. Oh, how can I put my face on the ground? How can I put my face on the ground? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take it in a different one, that the one who refuses to do sajda has arrogance, has kibr. And what is the status of kibr, arrogance in the Day of Judgment? Anyone with an atom's worth, a dharra of kibr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden Jannah for that person. So how do we refuse to do that? If you expound on this, refuse to do sajda, this is literally sajda. So one way of refusing is Allah has ordered sajda 5 times a day. If we refuse to pray, that is a refusal of sajda. Another thing is sajda means submission. If we refuse to obey the commands of Allah, that's a refusal of sajda. That we know this is what my Rabb has ordered, and I said, I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm going to do it later. I'm going to do it when I'm 80 years old. Okay? That's also a refusal of sajda. But most immediately, salah. Anyone who ignores sajda. And we, if we have time in the end, we'll talk a little bit more about sajda. The only thing that Allah makes us repeat in any rakah is what? Sajda we do 2. Nothing else we do twice in any rakah. We don't recite Surah Fatiha twice. We don't recite, we do 2 ruku in the normal salah. You know, there is a special salah in which there are 2 rukus. But normally, 1 ruku. But sajda. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us many things about the sajda. Inshallah, if we have time in the end, we will talk about it.
Hazrat, you missed ayah number 14.
Jazakallah khair, yes. Fadhuku bima nasitum liqa'a yawmikum hadha. So, before that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about the people who reject, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we could have given all of them guidance, the ayah after that is for punishment for those. Fadhuku bima nasitum liqa'a yawmikum hadha. It will be said to them when they are put in Jahannam, فَذُوقُوا, therefore taste. What? بِمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِ, because you forgot this meeting that we were going to have with Allah. You forgot, you ignored the Day of Judgment, so now taste what you forgot. إِنَّا نَسِيْنَاكُمْ, we have forgotten you. You are worthless. You are less than dirt. Because dirt became man, you are even less than that. Okay. Wadhuku, and therefore, again the word comes, dhuku. This is all sort of a punishment, there is sarcasm, taste. Wadhuku adab al khuld. Adab, punishment, and special khuld, which is everlasting. That's even multiplies that. I mean, you can have punishment for a while and it ends. This is everlasting. Bima kuntum, why? Not out of any injustice. Bima kuntum tam, because of what you used to do. Jazakallah khair for bringing that to our notice. So now we go back to the next ayah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again talking about the opposites, which is the people who of sajda, who've done sajda. Tatajafa junubuhum anil madaji'i yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tam'an wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. Tatajafa means they withdraw, they pull away, they abandon what? Junubuhum, their sides, they abandon. Literally it means that their sides forsake their madaja, their beds at night. What does it mean? That they don't lie down in their beds. Why? Because they're sitting watching TV? No, because they are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yad'una rabbahum, calling, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salatu tahajjud. Khawfan, out of fear. of Allah's punishment, His wrath. وَطَمَعَ hope. Ya Allah. Begging Allah, crying, Ya Allah. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْ And they, another characteristics, what we have bestowed on them of their wealth, of their possessions, of their intellect, of their abilities, they spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They spend. So two characteristics that these people are, tatajafa means, like, imagine you've received some bad news and you are in a lot of tension. And you are turning from right side to left side to up. Sometimes you are so restless at night you cannot sleep. That's the feeling. That they cannot find rest in their bed part of that night, half the night, one third of the night. All the night they are standing asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a characteristic, a trait of people like that. And this is not a hint, because it's not fard, but it is a very strong recommendation for us to get up for some part of the night to do tahajjud. For what? Out of fear, hope, and dua. Okay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say about what is the reward. Say, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ No soul knows what is kept hidden for them of reward. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ That's going to give their eyes so much delight that they will be just absolutely delighted, because the Jannah, besides what's described, contains things that no eyes have ever seen. So when you see a beautiful, something beautiful, it gives you joy to the eyes. When you look at your child, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ It gives you special pleasure. But what Allah has kept of Qurrata Ayn in Jannah, no one has any clue how beautiful it is. And the ultimate of that Qurrata Ayn in Jannah is what? What will you see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is kept hidden from Allah. Because in this dunya nobody can see. And again, jaza'an, recompense. Reward for what? Bima kanu ya'malun, for what you used to do. Remember the previous one? Fadhuku adab al khuldi bima kanu ya'malun. This again, that's one punishment. Bima kanu ya'malun, for what you did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking here about His justice. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Afaman kana mu'minan kaman kana fasiqa la yastawun. Can the one who believes and the one who is rebellious, fasiq, or disbeliever, can you consider them equal? Because this was specifically, the Quraysh used to say, well, he is Qurayshi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have Quraysh leaders. He is eloquent. We have eloquent people. We are heads. So what is the difference between us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, can a believer and a disbeliever, because forget about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but those Quraysh leaders against an ordinary Muslim believer, do they have any? Nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, la yastawun, they can never be equal, they are not equal. Amma alladhina amanu wa amilu assalihati falahum jannatul ma'wa nuzulan bima kanu ya'malun. Again, for those who have iman, who believe in Allah and all of our arkan, the six pillars of Islam, and they show that by their action, amal salih, deeds that Allah loves and is pleased with, that are done for His pleasure, with the niyyah for His pleasure, done according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For those people, falahum, then as a consequence for them, jannatul ma'wa, dwellings, paradisial dwellings where their abodes, these belong to them, nobody can take them away, no tax on them, nothing, forever. Bima kanu yamalun. Again, for what they used to do. And the opposite of that, and then the word nuzul is, you know, it's like a welcome. Like when you are hosting someone, when they first come in, you give them hors d'oeuvres and you welcome them at the gate and you have flowers for them. That's the nuzul. The initial part of the big party that's going to come. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about that. This is where it is. And the opposite picture, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا And those, as for those who Fasiq ones who rebels beyond, who exceeds the bounds that Allah has put for us. فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ And their abode is the fire. كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا Every time they even want, forget about trying to escape, even they think they want to escape, what will happen? أَرَادُوا أَنْ يُخْرَجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا They will be returned into it. وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ And it will be said to him, again, what? ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Taste the azab of the fire. نَارَ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ This is for the fire which you used to deny. You said it didn't exist. Now feel it and tell us, does it exist? Is it real or is it imaginary? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجَعُونَ Again, this is Allah's mercy, he says, and we certainly make them taste some of the عَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى means smaller punishments, smaller hardships. The word adna is also meant for something that's near. So in other words, punishment that is near means in this dunya. That we make them taste duna al-adhab al-akbar before the great punishment that is coming, which is after the day of judgment. La'allahum yarji'un. So that they may turn back. They feel some of these punishments in the dunya. Somebody gets sick, somebody gets lost, and a traumatic event turns them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that traumatic event, even though we don't like it, was a blessing because it brought you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also the punishments that come, the hardships that come, we should welcome that. It should be a means to take us back, to make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The challenges that we have in the dunya should make us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it also teaches us that we are not in control. We don't have any power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala next says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and who could be a greater zalim? Who could be a greater more injustice than one who is reminded of the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what your Rabb says. And when after hearing them, what is his attitude? ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ Turns away from it. Says, fairy tales. I don't believe in this. Turns away. Rejects it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for such this person, Allah says, إِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ Indeed, we will exact retribution, intiqam, because Allah is al-muntaqim. Now imagine the retribution of Allah. So this is one step further than just punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will take retribution. I will give them for what they did. Intiqam for these wicked criminals. Now we come to the last section, the sixth section. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the previous nation. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّنْ لِقَائِهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed we gave Musa alayhi salam al-kitab. What kitab is that? We just said al-kitab is the Quran.
Torah.
The Torah is also a kitab. Allah gave him the kitab. فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّنْ لِقَائِهِ And have no doubt about لِقَائِهِ. Now there are many understandings of this. Okay. One understanding is, that have no doubt that you will meet, you will encounter what Musa alayhi salam encountered of opposition, of ridicule and all of that from Fir'aun, from these Fir'auns of the Abu Jahals and all. You will encounter, you will meet what Musa alayhi salam met. Another interpretation is literal. Have no doubt that you will meet Musa alayhi salam, liqa'ihi. Meet Musa alayhi salam. When? in the Mi'raj. Rasulullah. So some have said that this may mean that this was foretelling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Mi'raj was in the towards the end of the Meccan period, that you will meet him. And of what is meant by liqa'ihi, another understanding is that just like he received, he encountered the kitab, you are also getting the kitab. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ, and he has made that kitab هُدَلْ لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, guidance for the children. That was specific for Bani Israel. And this kitab, Al-Quran, is هُدَلْ لِنَّاسِ, for all of mankind. إِلَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, till the end, no more books to come. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and from among the people of, among the Bani Israel, we made from them a'imma, leaders, imams. An imam doesn't just mean leader in salah. Imams, leaders, bi amrina, by the amr of Allah. The leaders are made by the amr of Allah, by our amr. Lamma, after they had done, what, two qualities? Sabaru, wa kanu bi ayatina yuqinun. They had yaqeen in our ayats, and they had sabr, persisted in face of all oppositions and difficulties, then we made them true leaders. And this is an indication for this ummah that if we have yaqeen in the Quran and in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we persist and we have sabr, and we as in Urdu say, jam jaye us par, then Allah will make us those kinds of leaders, which are worth, not the kind of leaders you see in the world today. Inna rabbaka huwa yafsilu baynahum yawm al-qiyamati fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. And as we know, all people have disputes, ikhtilaf between themselves. Believers and disbelievers. Mushrik, they have disputes then, they have dispute now. You look at any country where there are disbelievers and believers, there is conflict. Take the example, these days, India, there will be. And among the believers, there is also disputes, the people of the book. The Jews cannot agree with the Christians cannot agree with the Jews cannot agree with the Muslims cannot agree with the Jews, Muslims cannot agree with the Christians. Everyone differs in some things, even though we are close as the people of the book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Rabbaka, that it is indeed your Rabb who will do faisla, he will sort it out, he will judge between you on what you used to differ, what you were right on, what you were wrong on. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us in the next couple of ayahs to reflect. أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِ لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ يَمْشُونَ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Is it not clear guidance? Is it not hidayah for them? Now specifically for the Quraysh, but for all people. أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونَ. How many Qurun, how many generations, how many nations, how many people we have destroyed before them. And you see their vestiges, you see their athar, you see their ruins. When you go to Egypt, you say, MashaAllah, look at the pyramids. What should you be thinking? The man who built all of this, still look at his state here in the museum. All that power destroyed. When we see the ruins in Petra and all, big nations, they carved in the mountains with their hands, destroyed. Nations built, buried, Mohenjo-daro, this, that, understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you go through these ruins, is it not, you know, I said, fi masakinihim. Yamshuna fi masa, they walk through these. You go through tourism. You know, this is what tourism is, ancient, you know, history. But do we take the right lesson? Yamshuna fi masa. Inna fi dhalika la'ayatin afala yasma'un. In this there are signs for the people who think. Not just taking pictures. You see ruins and you're taking pictures. I'm here and I'm taking selfie. No, take ibra, take lessons. Look. What powerful people they were. Look what they built. Look at how these pyramids are built. I mean, we still can't figure out how those huge rocks are there. With that power and nothing. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this should be clear guidance. Is this not clear guidance that you witness how many generations have been destroyed, that Allah has destroyed before you, and you go through their dwellings and you don't take lessons? So let this be a lesson when we are visiting lands where they are, you know, it's not a place to be celebrated. We should be taking Ibra and we should be scared that Allah's punishment came here. If we remember, the Prophet ﷺ passed by the ruins of who? Thamud, go on his expedition to Tabuk. And what was his attitude? He didn't say, don't take pictures. What did he say? Lower your head, go through this quickly. Why? He is with them. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah's adab came and he was still scared of the area. Adab had come thousands of years before. He was still, let's go through here. This is not a good place. Because this place was destroyed by Allah. I'm afraid to be here. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ نَسُوقُ الْمَاءَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الْجُرُزِ فَنُخْرِجُ بِهِ زَرْعًا تَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ أَنْعَامَهُمْ وَأَنْفُسُهُمْ أَفَلَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And is it not, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا, do they not see, أَنَّ how we نَسُوقُ الْمَاءَ, how we drive the rain, the rain clouds are driven by the command, Amr of Allah, the angels driving them, where it has to rain, how much it has to rain, which land has to be irrigated, at what speed each drop has to come down, which drop has to land where. We drive that rain, ilal ardil juruz, earth that is completely dry, barren, with nothing, no foliage. فَنُخْرِجُ بِهِ زَرَى. And then from that rain, we bring out from this earth all kinds of vegetation and foliage and crops. For what? تَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ, so that you may eat who? أَنْعَامَهُمْ, your cattle, وَأَنْفُسُ, and you, أَفَلَّا يُبَصِرُ, do you not see this? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about His rahmah, the rain coming, and His creative ability. In the previous one, by He's saying, look at these athar, these vestiges left of His destructive ability. The balance is there. People should take heed of Allah's power. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again goes back to the Quraysh. What did it say? وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْفَتْحُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say, so when is this? Is obviously this is said sarcastically, mocking Rasul. So you say this is happening, you know, there's a day of fatḥ, there's a day of victory, there is a way of all this will happen. He said, مَتَى هَذَا الْفَتْحُ. Not that we believe in it, but when is this day of fatḥ, the day of decision, of victory? إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are indeed true, he's telling As-Sadiq al-Amin, if you are telling the truth, then tell us when this is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, say to them, what? يَوْمَ الْفَتْحَ لَا يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيمَانُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْظَرُونَ. When that day of fatḥ arrives, it will be, believing that day will be of no benefit to the disbelievers. Ya Allah, we believe. Just like the ayah before, when they see it, they say, Ya Allah, now we've seen it, we believe, send us back. Allah says, when that day comes, there will be no benefit to the disbelievers. And walahum yundharun, and it will not be delayed. Now it's coming. Ya Allah, give us, extend our time. Give us an extension. There will be no respite, no delay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends with a warning to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Warn them, what? Fa'arid anhum, turn away from them. Muntadhir, and wait for the promise to be fulfilled of your victory, the victory of Islam, the victory of the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahum muntazirun. And they too are waiting. Because they are waiting for what? To see that you will be destroyed. Because they don't believe in this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends it with this. So the main lessons from all this for us is, number one, we have to have yaqeen. Yaqeen in the Quran, in every word, starting with alif. This is from Allah. Lam, mim. Yaqeen in the promises of Allah. Yaqeen that this came as tanzeel from above. Yaqeen that it came from the Lawh al-Mahfuz to the lowest heaven, to Jibreel alayhi salam, to Rasulullah, and it has come to us. Yaqeen in every word, every ayat, every command. Yaqeen in the day of judgment. Yaqeen in every attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqeen in the meeting that I am going to stand in front of Allah. that the Malakul Maut will come. When he comes in the room, you may be there. And he looks at people and says, no, I'm coming to you later. I'm coming to you later. I'm for this guy right now. He will come. Have yaqeen that we have to go. So that is number one. Number two, sajda. We must submit completely. This is the only Alif Lam Mim surah in which there is a sajda. Submit to Allah with complete humility, which is symbolized in the sajda. Those who do sajda in the dunya will have special things that we will talk about, because they did not show any arrogance. And those, because Allah said, وَهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ, they did not show any resistance. But those who did not do sajda on the day of judgment, when Allah comes, everyone will fall in sajda. And everyone will want to fall in sajda. But those who didn't fall in sajda, will, their backs will be made rigid. And they will stand up in front of everyone with this guy. Want to? I want to go. Can't. Because when you had a chance, you didn't. Prevented from sajda and directly into Jahannam. Number three. We are going to face opposition. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced opposition. Musa alayhi wa sallam faced opposition. You will face hostility. We face hostility. You'll face denial. You'll be called names. All of that, have patience. Sabr. Sabaru. Wait patiently for Allah's judgment. That's another. Yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having patience. Submitting completely. Reflect. Another lesson. Reflect on the destructive power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the floods in Bangladesh and India and all. Look at the earthquake yesterday in Afghanistan. Look at the destructive power of Allah. And look at the creative power of Allah. When you go out and you clean the earth, tomorrow morning you come, there's a weed grown up. So 2.5 inch already overnight. Through this earth. And another lesson, of course, is the value of tahajjud and dua at night. It's a special opportunity that's granted to us. Crying out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging out of hope to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are some of the lessons, and there may be many more. These are some that I just quickly wanted to formulate. The significance of sajda, since this is ayah of surah of sajda, and ayah of sajda is in here. As we said before, sajda is an act of worship, of submission, that was prescribed to all nations. Ibrahim alayhi salam did sajda. The Quran mentions Maryam alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, everyone did sajda. Okay? Previous umam. However, there are two types of sajda. There is one sajda of respect, of honoring, like the sajda of the angels to Adam alayhi salam. That was not for worship. Like the sajda of Yaqub alayhi salam and his sons to Yusuf alayhi salam. Okay. So that was permitted in the previous sharia. You know, the previous legal rulings, it was permissible. But for us in our sharia, even though we have as one of our sources, the last sources, Sharh min qablina, from some things from the previous sharia, this is forbidden. And the example of this is, one time the great companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu came to Medina, and when he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went down in sajda in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ma hadha ya Mu'adh? What is this?" He said, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm coming from Sham. The people of the book, they do sajda to their bishops and their patriarchs all the time. You are more deserving of sajda than anyone else." He said, "No. In our sharia, sajda is not permitted to anyone except Allah." And then he went on to say, "And if I were to order a sajda to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would be so-and-so for so-and-so." And we'll leave that for now. Because what it meant, what he said was, and leave that, the wife to the husband. No, that's for honoring. Just leave it at that. And there's further on in that hadith which we are going to leave. So, also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, he said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَاءِ. He said, the servant is closest to his Rabb in sajda. And therefore, when you are in sajda, akthiru, do plenty of dua. That's why sajda is a special time for dua, especially in tahajjud. And as you know, sajda is a rukun in the salah. It's an essential without which the salah is not. So if you miss sajda, that salah cannot be made. You have to do it all over again. Okay, it cannot be corrected by just doing a sajda sahw. You have to. It's a rukun. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Umurtu an asjuda ala sab'een." That I have been commanded to do sajda. This is for our kids and for some of the adults. On 7 bones. This is considered one. So this has to be the forehead and the tip of the nose should be on the ground. Number 2 and 3, the hands have to be on the ground flat. 4 and 5, the 2 knees have to be on the ground. 6 and 7, the feet, the toes have to be. Sometimes when our kids go on sajda, they on their knees, feet are doing, you know, that sort of thing. No, so be careful of doing that. And as we said, so there is sajda of salah. We have sajda of tilawa that we did when we recited. There is sajda sah that we do if we make some smaller mistakes. If we forget something in salah, we do 2 sajda at the end of the salah. And there is sajda of shukr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with something, some favor, some safety, something you asked, Allah grants you, then sajda of shukr is due. So these are the various types of sajda. And the sajda has special value even in the hereafter. Because the parts of your body that do sajda are left with marks. We have a secret between us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, that they are distinguished for their faith by the marks that are on their faces from prostration. So many times you see people have a mark here, dark mark from doing sajda. Okay, that's a special honor. Okay, that is what you should be proud of. It doesn't mean that you find a rock and you start rubbing so that, you know, I look righteous. This has to come naturally. Okay, and what is special? That this is how you will be recognized. That these are people. And this is not just even in Jahannam. Because we know, the Prophet ﷺ told us that some believers, because of their sinful acts, will go to Jahannam. And then after the time is over, and after the intercession of people, of Rasulullah and others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the angels, bring the people out from Jahannam who have La ilaha illallah. Now, you know what is the state of Jahannam? Full. So, who do I take out? How will the angels know who to take out? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden the nar of Jahannam to burn the areas of sajda. So, this areas and these areas and their knees will not, everything else will be burnt, blackened, bleeding. Normal skin, because Allah said He has forbidden Jahannam to burn the areas that were touched in sajda. So angels, you out. So even in Jahannam, this will be saving grace for us. So just remember how beautiful it is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. So we have still about 12 minutes before Maghrib, before we open it up for questions. Does anybody have any reflection on why the Prophet ﷺ may have been reciting this on Fridays in Fajr? What is the connection between Friday, Jumu'ah, and this surah? No? I'll share my reflection if nobody has.
Day of Ibadah.
Well, Jumu'ah is the best day that Allah created. Okay, this was offered to previous ummahs. The Jews disputed about it. They chose Saturday. Christians disputed about it, they chose Sunday. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with this day. So what happened on Jummah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started creation on Jummah. What did we read in this surah? Creation. Beginning of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the clay of Adam alayhi salam, gathered it on the Yawmul Jummah. What did we read about it? For we started his creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nufikha fihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the soul of Adam alayhi salam blown into him on Yawmul Jummah. Okay. Then what do we have? The resurrection. The end that will come, the trumpet will be blown on Yawmul Jummah.
Where so, does it mention?
These are all in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this Jummah as a day of Eid for us. That's why we are told not to fast only on Friday, because the day of celebration of eating and drinking Jummah, unless you are fasting for some other reasons continuously or the day before or after. Also, another day, it is the day of Eid, is because on a Jummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that ayah. Which when a Jew heard, he talked to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, if this great verse was revealed to us, we would have declared it a holiday. He said, I know exactly when it was revealed. It was revealed on the day of Arafah, which is anyway a holiday, on the day of Jummah, because that year it was on the day of Jummah. So it is already a holiday for us. So this is all Jummah. And in the hereafter also there is something special about Jummah. That on every Jummah, the residents of Jannah will go to a special place, a bazaar, and whenever they come back, they will be even more beautiful. And their families will say, you look so much more beautiful. And they will say, and you look so much more beautiful. Every Jummah, the beauty will increase. So Jummah has special significance. So this beautiful surah, which has talking about the creation, which is on Jummah, creation of Adam and his ruh on Jummah, the day of resurrection, all of these are in the surah. And that may be one reason why the Prophet ﷺ reminded us every Jummah at Fajr by reciting this. Jazakallah. Yes.
I have a recommendation to recite this surah every night.
Yes. There is a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ did not go to sleep without reciting Surah Mulk and Surah As-Sajdah. In other words, he recited it every night. And at night means any time after Maghrib. So if you get up for Tahajjud, you can recite it then. Or you can, in the Sunnah of Maghrib and Isha and Nawafil, any time. Or even if you're not in Salah, outside of Salah. And it just takes a few minutes. So with that, we will conclude this surah and open it up for questions and answers. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.